And good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. We're joined today by Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins as we talk about county business and the recent fiscal court meeting. And Dr. Blevins, it's always good to have you on the program.
Glad to be back.
And we always start with the jail project because that's the most pressing thing that's going on right now for county government and here in the county.
It's the most expensive project the county's ever taken on, what I've been told. And things are going good. We're getting good reviews. I think people are excited about having a new facility. It looks like we're going to need a new facility because it looks like there's a major input of new criminals into the system, and we've got to have a place to hold them, and we'll be one of those places now.
Is the project still on schedule?
Still on schedule. We're looking, hopefully we'll take over sometime the end of January of this coming year, and we think everything is going to be perfect.
Well, we've talked about this before on the program. I drive by there every day on my way to work and my way home from work, and the building looks like it's shaping up, and it's a nice-looking building.
Nice-looking building. I think it's a real good addition to the community compared to what we had there before, the old tobacco warehouse that was basically falling in. Never was an attractive building anyway, but I think this will add to the ambiance of the community, and it doesn't look like a jail, so most people won't realize what it is unless they ask.
What is the focus of most of the work that's going on there right now?
Well, they're doing the bricking on the outside, and, of course, they're doing the ventilation and some of the electrical stuff, heating and cooling systems, trying to get all those put in. They're still going to have to dry out the building. They've got the dehumidifiers ordered. Should be here shortly, and then after they get the building dried out, they'll continue to paint and put down the floors, those types of things, and dress it up.
So it's all roofed in now?
Yeah, as far as we know, everything's roofed in. It's not leaking now.
The weather's been pretty decent here lately, so I know that there was some time lost on the project in June, July, when there was a bunch of rain at one point, but it looks like they're catching up.
We're catching up. They're doing very well.
And as usual, we get to talk about change orders from the state.
Couple small ones, nothing major. Again, one was a little more expensive than I like to pay for cameras, but one goes into the kitchen area and one goes into the lab area, I think they said, for a cost of about $5,531. That's just not for the cameras, but that's running the wires and putting them in a place where they don't get tampered with. And so that was that one. Then there was another one for a small amount. Let me see how much that was. I think it was $833, and that was dealing with additional clips for the area D. It's just additional clips to clip the roof onto the building.
Kind of so, interesting. It just seems every time we talk, there's another change order, and it's almost like if a state inspector shows up, they feel like that they have to do something and justify why they're there and issue a change order. And
well,
it's not a knock on that person, but
no, it's really not just on the state. It's basically sometimes things that our jailer asked for the cameras. They weren't put in. I guess he didn't realize they weren't being put in. And he thinks they'll be necessary. He's taking some people down to look at the place. And, of course, after you start looking, you say, oh, maybe we should have put a camera here. So that with $5,000, the biggest part of that one was from the jailer's request. Some of those other things are just a major project like that. You just you don't get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. It just happens.
But in the end, you'll have the building you want.
Yes. I think we'll be very pleased with the building. It'll be very much more energy efficient than what we have. And it'll be a very secure and safe facility for the community.
The one thing that we've also talked about, and I think this is important for people out there who pay taxes here in Rowan County to know, is the fact that from an efficiency standpoint with the money you're spending on this project, if I remember right, you might actually wind up being a little under budget.
We were hoping we could be a little under the budget because you plan on about almost $1 million, $930-some thousand, I believe we had in contingency. We've probably used about a little over $100,000 of that, so we'll have some monies there. We're still thinking about maybe taking some of those dollars and purchasing It's kind of like a scanner. It's almost like it's X-ray, very low dose. Well, if somebody's trying to bring drugs into the facility, or they're trying to bring a weapon into the facility, you'll be able to spot that right off and be able to keep the contraband and keep this place safe.
You know, I see stories about that, and you do too. And it always surprises me that people actually do try to bring drugs into a jail, because generally they're fairly secure facilities. And the other thing is, this is the place where these people wound up for similar activities. I mean, it's just a very highly unusual thing, but it does go on all the time.
Yes, it goes on, and it's a danger to the inmates. It's a danger to the public, danger to the guards. We need to make sure we spend a little extra money, and I think my court will do that. We'll probably go ahead and put that in as a change order. And use some of those dollars to make it a safer place.
How much does something like that cost?
I think they're about $100,000, maybe even more. It depends on their different types. I guess my concern, to some extent, is if you're running people through an X-ray machine day in, day out, every time they leave, every time they come back, or at least every time they come back, you know, there's a chance maybe somebody could come try to sue you saying they caused a cancer or something like that. But I know X-rays, I took X-rays as a dentist for many years, and according to what they told us in dental school and what the research says, that it's like spending a day at the beach. I mean, the X-rays I took on somebody, and I think this is much lower dose radiation than what the X-rays I was taking.
If you're sending them through there all the time, you don't have to send them to the beach. They won't need vacation.
No, I don't think. Hopefully we won't give them a tan, I don't think.
Well, on some other business, I saw there was a note on the agenda sheet regarding administrative code ordinance changes, and maybe if you'd explain what's going on.
Well, we discussed it. There was some question about not maybe the page numbers weren't accurate, and so we kind of postponed that. We'll take that up next month, and I don't think there was much controversy. There was some question about the sick bank. We have a sick bank that people can get up to 80 hours from if they're, you know, have a cancer or some kind of severe injury, they can the people in the system, the employees there, can donate up to 80 hours for that one individual. There's some discussion whether we ought to be more lenient in that. We're going to send out a questionnaire to most of the judges around the state and find out what how their sick bank works. It's something that I try to be employee friendly. I think people have a hard time. They've spent 15, 20 years working for the state or working for the county, and then they wind up having a cancer and they're off quite a bit and wind up with no paycheck. And this is a way to try to help those individuals when that occurs.
This kind of made me think of something else. I know the city is going through its ordinances and starting to work with a firm to help them update the ordinances around the city. From a county standpoint, has the fiscal court thought about doing something similar, or is there a need for that?
I don't think there's a need. At least we've got a county attorney who looks at this. He's the one who brought most of these changes. It's just clarification and just make sure people understand what the administrative code is. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to maybe have somebody take a look at all our ordinances and make sure that occurs, but just haven't seen many problems, not been any major lawsuits or anything about our ordinances or about our administrative code.
It also reminds me of another thing that we've talked about. It's been a while since we've discussed it, that you had a desire to implement countywide zoning, and that hadn't happened. I know that you talked about maybe putting together some committee to go around to various places around the county to talk to local individuals and see what they thought. What's the latest on that, if anything?
I probably dropped the ball on that. There's so many other things going on, and summertime's not a real good time. I may try to pick it up and get those people involved again. Again, I don't know if I've got the votes on my court. I may be just spinning my wheels, and that's probably why I've not really pushed it, because I don't get a lot of positive input from my magistrates. It'll be an election year next year, and I think they're concerned about that. So it's something maybe the next judge will have to take on. Unless I still may go ahead and try to put together a committee and hold some hearings and just see what the general public does feel about zoning.
That kind of runs me into my next question, in the sense I know you still think that this is an important matter to deal with.
I think it is. I think most of your the counties that see good growth, and I think this is one of our county. We're one of the counties that's going to see growth in the next few years. I think there's at least that's what the experts say that because of our location on the interstate and because of the problems that have happened around us in the coal fields, that we're going to see some growth. A lot of those people are going to move here for opportunities. Our industrial park, we're hoping we're going to land a couple of industries here in the near future. We're just waiting for somebody to sign. I think they're pretty close to being committed, but you have to get the signatures before you can make the announcements. But we're pretty close on some things.
Yeah, when you talk about growth in this county, the most potential seems to be still in that Route 801 area.
I think that's the, I mean, that's, we built it out there because of the floodplain. When I was in the House, I helped get the interchange out there, but it would have been a tough place to put an industrial park with no good roads to it. But now we're right on the interstate, I think, and with the airport, the KCTC out there. I think we've got all the eggs in the right basket, and I think things are going to happen.
Your fear, I guess, is that as you grow along 801, you could have really a mishmash of things all together.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes one bad development to, you know, you'd put a chicken farm out there, you put a something that's going to cause maybe like they did over in Carter County with a hazardous waste medical waste incinerator type thing, and it just would scare people away, and would probably could hurt people's investment they've made in that area. So zoning, some people think it's bad, and maybe it is bad to some extent, but it also has a lot of good because it protects people and the investment they've made in the community in that area.
Yeah, and there are a lot of housing developments out there right now, and probably more to come.
Well, I think it's the place you're going to have to put the housing because, again, it's out of the floodplain. Most of our property is along the creeks, and if, with the kind of rainfalls we've been having, and you know, I've experienced a couple of floods here in this community, and the frequency seems like it's getting higher and higher. And if you look around the nation, there just seems to be more violent storms and more flooding than usual.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. We'll step away for just a few moments and return with more on Front Page right after this.
This is Paul Hitchcock. I'm celebrating 25 years of hosting Nothing But the Blues on WMKY. We've enjoyed some great music through the years, said goodbye to blues masters, and introduced many new artists. Join me as I highlight some of my favorite albums from the past 25 years each week on Nothing But the Blues. Saturdays 8 p.m. to midnight on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM, and online at WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Again, Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins is with us today on the program. And Dr. Blevins, as we continue things in this last fiscal court meeting, you dealt with some tax issues and some tax rates.
Yes, I got some good news. We didn't change the tax rate. It's still 8 cents per hundred of assessed value on motor vehicles. Watercraft remains the same, 8.0 cents per hundred of assessed value. And we passed that. Takes two readings to make it official, so the next court will make that official. Have even better news, I guess, other than just maintaining the tax rates on those. The real estate actually went down from 6.8 down to 6.7. We took the compensating rate. And the tangible property remained at 8 cents per $100 of assessed value. So actually, people say taxes never go down, but the tax rate on, at least on the real estate property went down 0.1%.
What caused that?
Well, when you have growth, when you see more buildings going up, the tax base increases, and instead of keeping the tax rate and bringing in more money, there's a chance that if you don't take a compensating rate, you'd wind up having a recall on your taxes. It's House Bill 44, which passed back in the 80s, I believe it was, early 80s. To keep property taxes from going up dramatically. So by taking a compensating rate, it's giving the people an opportunity, a little less tax on their property, and in turn, the people, what's going to make up for that, we'll actually get more money coming in than what we have last year from that. But it's basically, we're going to have a little more money. We're not losing any money on our tax base there.
I have to believe, excuse me, if you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but with all the building projects that we have going on right now in Rowan County and all the revenue that's created for the county, maybe that's helped keep these tax rates where they are, at least, and maybe cause that one to go down?
That's exactly right. If you have growth in your economy, then you can lower those tax rates and not have to increase them to maintain the services that you're providing.
At some point, these building projects end, as we know, what happens at that point? I know there probably could be some other projects as well, but are there ways? Well, I guess maybe if there are more jobs, I suppose, here in the county, that's the hope for creating tax revenue.
That's the hope. If you create more jobs, bring more people here with good paying jobs, and those are the kinds we're trying to attract to the industrial park and to the region. That will help the tax base, because they'll start paying the payroll tax, they'll start paying the property tax. Build a home, rent a home. They'll be paying more sales tax. Of course, we don't get that, but it still creates more jobs in that area, which means more payroll tax. So that's the key to not having to raise the taxes any higher, is to see some growth. And we're hoping that we're going to see that growth in the near future.
Well, talking about jobs, I had a chance here recently to speak to the head of your EDC, your Economic Development Council for Morehead and Round County, Bob Helton, and chat with him about some things he's working on. He said that he wasn't able to give me great detail on some things that are pretty sensitive in nature in terms of the negotiations, but he says that the area could be on the cusp of a couple of good things.
I feel the same way, Bob. I keep abreast of what's occurring. I'm on the Economic Development Committee, and I was with one of the people that helped hire Bob, and I think he brings a lot of tools to the job. He's well known throughout the economic development in Kentucky, and not just in Kentucky, but throughout southeastern Kentucky. He's worked with Hinkle and also worked with Corman Railroads and R.J. Corman. And so he's on some boards. He's been traveling. We sent him down to Japan. We had some visitors from Japan. So if you get them here once, we're hoping they'll come back and keep us on their schedule as far as looking at places to develop.
I have to believe that if you can get, say, something along that line, some kind of a large-scale factory, plant, mill, whatever, it might be the Brady Industries, a satellite plant for Brady Industries that may come along. If you can get something like that, that might lure other development into the county.
I think that happens because people realize they've got a good – I think the thing we have here is we've got a good educated workforce. And not only in Round County, but the surrounding counties. We got a lot of laid-off steel workers, a lot of laid-off coal workers, and those people are willing. They're good workers. They've proven themselves to show up and to be drug-free and put in a hard day's work for a good wage. So I think those kinds of things are going to make us attractive. People are having a tough time finding employees in many parts of the states. And we think, and of course, having a university here and having the Space Science Center and now the Advanced Manufacturing Center that will open up hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months, we're very pleased that we're setting where we're setting, and we think good things are going to happen.
So it could be right around the corner.
I think it could be any day now.
All right. A matter we talked about for a couple of moments before the program, you had a discussion with Great Lakes Biological Company, and maybe you could explain about that.
That is a company that basically sells cats, dead cats, deceased cats, to the veterinarian schools and for teaching them anatomy of the animals they're working on. It's something when I was in dental school, I had to go through a couple of semesters of gross anatomy, had to work on human cadavers, and the best way to learn is actually doing that. And the same thing with somebody that's going to be a veterinarian, it's better to learn maybe on the actual animal that you're going to be working on. So it's good for the veterinarian schools to have this ability. It doesn't cost us anything. They bring a freezer over there. It's maybe $20 or $30 a year to run that freezer. And instead of landfilling those cats that are diseased or those cats that are feral, that's mainly the ones we have to euthanize. Instead of just throwing them in landfill, we can get $5 per cat. We're thinking about, I don't think we made the motion yesterday, but we're thinking about taking part of that money and actually giving maybe all or part of it to the cat rescue.
And that's called Cats Meow Here.
Cats Meow Here, and they've done a good job. They try to get the cats adopted. We're not trying to kill cats. We're not going to make a lot of money off of this anyway, but it's still, instead of landfilling these deceased cats, cats that basically are either diseased again or are feral cats. Of course, we try to adopt the others and try to hold them as long as we can. But giving them a little more money would be something good in that respect. It's kind of a... Some people think it could be controversial, but I think it's being a dentist and being an understanding the needs in education. I think it's a good way to use that. If you have to euthanize a cat, at least it'll turn out being used for some science or biological reasons.
Could wind up saving somebody else's cat down the road.
That's exactly right.
Now, you had an update on the TAP grant study as well.
We didn't really have an update on that. Again, we're waiting on... our engineer to come. He's going to design us a plan. We've talked with the city, Scott Davidson, who's working on the trail through the city, and we may wind up both of us applying for grants, and hopefully one of us will get one of those TAP grants, and we can start the development of a trail, not just through the city here, but also through the from almost one end of the county to the other. We think that's progress for the future. Again, we're a trail town, and I think those kinds of things attract people. But people like to get on their bicycles. They like to walk the streams. They like to walk the roads. They like to be able to. This would enable people to basically get on a bicycle and drive down to Cavern Lake instead of having to drive down there. And we think it's a positive thing. We think we got a good opportunity maybe to receive one of those grants.
You can receive up to $1 million, can't you?
Up to $1 million. I mean, there's only like a little over $4 million per year that's given. It's federal grants, and you have to live up to the federal standards, too. It's just not, you know, running a path or mowing a place where people can walk. You have to put down concrete or blacktop, and it can get expensive, so it'll take maybe more than $1 million to do some of these trails.
And Scott, of course, works with the local Trails Group.
Yes, correct.
Is there a way maybe to partner with the Rails to Trails Group?
We've talked about doing that, but again, we just were kind of rushed. We wanted to get us a project in so we at least have a chance to get some of that federal money, and so that's why we went ahead and got a hold of Mr. Harrington to do the study for us and to put together a plan so that we can hopefully have a chance to receive those dollars. I think the city's working on a plan, too, to put theirs in. I think those have to be in by, I think, early October, I believe.
I was going to say, it won't be long before those applications are due.
That's right. And so that's
and they have to be pretty involved, I'm sure.
Yes. I mean, they're not going to give you money unless you've got a reasonable plan, something that can occur. Again, we'd have to pay 20% of that out of our tax dollars or out of in-kind contribution where we could use people to our own county employees and county equipment to do some of the work.
We're sitting here in August right now, and it's going to be in the 80s today. But at the same time, I know that you probably are thinking a little bit ahead to the winter and getting the equipment ready. I know you probably got plenty of road salt because not much was used last year.
We've got adequate supplies of road salt, and if we need more, we've got contract to go get more as well at a reasonable price, very low price.
I think you talked maybe about looking at buying some more because the price is so low right now.
It is low, but again, people just didn't want to build another building out there to hold it. So, and maybe the price will hopefully stay down for a while. With global warming, who knows? We may never need salt.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe we can, you know, put it on French fries or something like that.
No, I don't think you want this on French
fries. No, I know. So we got about a minute left on the program. I was going to go ahead and open it up on the floor and let you discuss anything at this point you'd like to or add anything into the show that you'd like to.
Well, just I'm pleased to be the judge. I think we've got good opportunities in this community. Again, I wish I could tell you, announce something today, but I'm hoping in the next few weeks we'll see some signatures on paper and we'll actually be able to open up and have a ribbon cutting and invite people to our community. And again, I think once that word gets out, I think it'll be more and more people look at this place to as a good place to bring opportunities. We're looking at we've talked to those people before, some of these same people, about maybe some type of high-tech greenhouse. They just announced one up in Pikeville. They're going to do one up there, and I think these people are looking maybe at Moorhead, perhaps to put another one. So we got to find some acreage for them. It takes a big plot of land to attract those people, and you want to have a place where you got plenty of sunshine, and it could create quite a few good-paying jobs as well. And at the same time, make sure we have a little more insurance on our food supply.
Judge, as always, thanks so much for coming over.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Round County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Morales, host of Front Page. See you next time. Thank you.